If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs Emotional Stress Formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you. That's what we like to do here on Herb Talk. Thanks for joining us on American Voice Radio. We've got a great show. We are going to be talking about something you may not have heard. It's called minimal change disease. Have you heard about that? Well, we're going to talk about that. And also we're going to talk about a little bit of a digestive Crohn's disease, and we'll see how the hour rolls. We've got a bunch of stuff here and our quack report. But I want to give you a heads up, a big surprise. We're going to have with us Thursday, the 5th, Justin Stillman from Extreme Health Radio is going to be with us. We're excited. We're going to chat it up with him. He's got a great network of hosts, various people. So I've been on his network, and so anyway, I thought, you know, you just got to come on and tell the folks here what's going on with your side of things and where you're going and what you hope to accomplish and how you can empower people. That's what we like to hear. So he's going to be with us on the 5th. That's Thursday. Also coming up on the 17th, Dr. Carly is going to be with us. Of course, she's going to be exposing more vaccine lies, of course. And then on the 24th, John Monroe from Dr. Banker's Group. He's been with us before, but he'll be with us again, telling us how we can empower ourselves and improve our vision problems the natural way. You can check out more information on the website, drbanker.com, drbanker.com. Also, he'll be with us here in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, July 26th. It's a Saturday. Hopefully, if he gets enough people to sign up for the vision workshop, he'll be here. He'll be at the Embassy Suites Hotel on South Tryon Street, and it's an all-day workshop. You get your self-help vision care kit, and you learn how to, you know, deal with macular degeneration, cataracts, glaucoma, nearsighted, farsightedness, the whole shebang. And I can attest his kit is awesome. I have one. I'm working on my myopia, also known as nearsightedness, about a year in. I'm using my herbal eye wash as well. It's another layer of, you know, production to restore eyes. But I like his kit because it really does tell you, you know, what's wrong with your eye. That's why this is happening. So if you know what's wrong with your eye, it makes it easier for you to work with it and reverse it. So I encourage you all to contact him. If you want to get more information on the workshop or get a kit, give him a call, 303-494-4532. That's John Monroe at 303-494-4532. And, you know, feel free to say I sent you. And you can improve your vision. I just love empowering people to do that. Well, before we do our quack report, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. We're all standing up as Americans these days with strength and, you know, righteousness. That's what we're doing. We're just saying no to all the nonsense. That's what we're – and we're going to need God's help because, you know, we've got ourselves in a pickle as a nation, and we're going to have to get out of it, but we're going to need some supernatural help with that. It's our job to ask. It's his will to help, but, hey, our job to ask. So seek the Lord, hit the knees, mind the time. It grows short. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. What do we got here? Oh, this thing about embryos again is in the news. You know, over these scientists, they want to merge the embryos from three different people. Okay? You know, one's not enough. We got to have three. So Britain's fertility regulator says it's kind of a controversial technique, creating new embryos, you know, playing God, as it were, manufacturing, merging DNA from three people. And they say, well, it doesn't appear to be unsafe, even though no one has ever really tested it, according to some reports. Well, their argument is, until a healthy baby is born, we can't say 100% that these techniques are safe. So let's just jump into it and check it out. That's their attitude. What a blind panel is this. Of the techniques are meant to stop mothers from passing on fatal genetic diseases. That's why they want to do this. Yeah, so they want to alter the human egg or embryo before it can transfer on these imperfections. So these methods would allow research to recreate in the laboratory human beings, their DNA, you know, what they're going to have through the rest of their lives. So if they approve this in Britain, it would be the first country that would allow embryos to be genetically modified, GMO embryos, folks. Ugh. All right. So critics say, you know, the research is unethical. I agree. They warn that the technology is too new and there's some unknown dangers, obviously. The resulting embryo could end up with a nucleus DNA from its parents, but the mitochondrial DNA from the donor. So scientists say the DNA from the donor egg amounts to less than 1% of the resulting embryo's genes. Okay, so why are we bothering? Hello? But the change could be passed on to future generations, and major genetic modification could result from this. Now, earlier in the year, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration was batting this about, and they haven't determined yet if it's safe, so they're holding off. Huh. All right, moving along in the Quacker. Here's something from naturalnews.com. They were testing some of the flu vaccines. Was it flu? Yeah, for heavy metals. They said that they found 25,000 times higher mercury levels than what the EPA allows for water to have in vaccines. Let's see. They found toxic mercury in the influenza vaccine, that's your flu shot, made by GlaxoSmithKline. The test that they conducted documented the mercury in the flu Laval vaccine had a shocking 51 parts per million mercury, 25,000 times higher than the maximum contaminant level of organic mercury to be allowed in drinking water set by the EPA. Whoa. Also, the concentration of mercury that they found in the flu shot, 100 times higher than the highest level of mercury tested in contaminated fish. Okay. So the vaccine that you're injected directly into your bloodstream, that goes right into your DNA, your cells, your mitochondria, your organs. You know, you wouldn't eat fish swimming off the coasts of Fukushima, would you? But you're going to take a flu vaccine that has 100 times more mercury than some of those fish? I don't know. Okay, so here's the actual results. They said on the influenza vaccine had 0.4 parts per million aluminum, no arsenic, no cadmium, no lead, but 51 parts per million of mercury. And the package insert for the flu shot admits the vaccine's never been subjected to scientific clinical trials. Aha. So there's been no controlled trials demonstrating a disease and influenza disease vaccination like Flavaflu actually works. But they tell you it do. That's the spin mill, the propaganda. All right, last but not least in the Quack Report, here's something interesting. A filtration technique they use on commercial beer found it to be contaminated with arsenic and heavy metals. Oh, don't tell me that. All the brewski drinkers out there are going to go, what? All right, there's this powdery substance that they use in the manufacturing to pull impurities out of the beer to make it clear and pretty. And it's a major source, apparently, of having heavy metal contamination in the end product. New research presented at the 245th National Meeting of an Exposition of the American Chemical Society identified diatomaceous earth, which is used by some breweries in the processing and filtering of commercial beer, was actually the source of arsenic and other toxins. So researchers first discovered this abnormality after observing some high levels of arsenic in beer samples they collected throughout Germany. So the levels of arsenic and other contaminants were higher in the beer samples than in the water used to make the beer, which suggested, hey, something in the process introduced these toxins. And it turns out it's the filtration technology they're blaming it on. So a ScienceDaily.com, a Dr. Colhan, his colleagues detected arsenic at high levels in about 140 German beers that they tested. They were looking at hops, grains, all the ingredients, and they came up with nothing until they went to the diatomaceous earth, the fossilized remains that they used as a filter, and that's where all the contaminants were coming in at. So they said they also tested other beers from other countries, six other countries, and they found at least six other countries also had arsenic, probably due to their filtration issues as well. So there may be widespread arsenic and heavy metal contamination in beer. It didn't really name any American-made beers, but, you know, people are drinking all those imports all the time. So you know what I say? Cleanse, people, cleanse. I beg you, cleanse. And that wraps the Quack Report. Look, 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 look Thanks, Frank. Yep, do those organ cleanses. We live in a toxic age. From vaccines to beer. I mean, you know, nothing beats a really cold brewski on a hot day, right? Yeah? Let's say you've been tiling the kitchen floor because the madre wants tile. And nothing beats that nice cold beer when you're done, right? And now you're probably sucking it down thinking, uh-oh, what's in it? Oh, I'm going to have to make my own beer. That's probably true. All right, let's talk about this minimal change disease. What the heck is that? I mean, you know, few people, I think, have heard of this. If you haven't heard of it, minimal change disease, or MCD, you're not alone. A lot of people haven't heard of it. Now, physicians really don't understand all there is involved with this disease, and they can often... the disease involves a disorder of the kidney function, okay? So MCD most often affects children, and 85% of the cases are young children. So the kidneys look normal when they biopsy them, but they're not functioning normal. And it's due to a higher-than-normal protein, cholesterol, and triglycerides that seem to be in the urine. Often, this is referred to a nephrotic syndrome, and also can lead to diabetic nephropathy, or it's also called C1Q, okay? And it would damage the kidneys, basically. So is there anything that, you know, can be done to repair, maybe restore the kidneys to normal? Well, we're going to find out. Well, let's look at what the causes are. Doctors are still assessing minimal change disease, or C1Q, whatever you want to call it. And they say it occurs, sometimes it seems to be connected to other conditions, like maybe diabetes, a genetic disorder, immune system malfunction, viruses like strep, mononucleosis, and hepatitis, and even medications like non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs and vaccines. So the doctors are even looking at that. Isn't that interesting? Something to talk with Dr. Carley about coming up, huh? All right, so let's look at the kidney, because our kidney is composed of a million very tiny, what they call nephrons. These are filters. And these filters' job is to filter the blood, and then a byproduct is made, and that's called urine. So when someone is diagnosed with minimal change disease, or C1Q, there is damage to the tiny blood vessels inside the nephrons. So that's what seems to be going on there. Now, this area is in this area is where the blood separates from waste material, and the urine is then produced. So this is where this is happening. And the condition is called minimal change disease because the kidney damage can only be seen if they biopsy the kidney and look at it under electron microscopes. Okay? So, well, let's look at, and by the way, that's the only way you can diagnose it. If your doctor didn't do that, he can no way say that you absolutely have that disease. The electron microscope has to be used. Well, let's look at some symptoms. Some of the telltale signs that the kidneys are malfunctioning are you're going to have some swelling or edema, fluid retention. And you're going to have swelling of the face, eyes, arms, legs, and abdomen. Now, patients can sometimes have poor appetite with this, weight gain, usually due to the fluid retention, and even their urine can have a very foamy appearance to it. So what are the tests that they do? Well, physicians will test the patient's blood. They'll do the basic or even a comprehensive metabolic panel test of the blood, and they're going to look for proteins and fats that are present in the urine and blood system. Now, a biopsy of the kidneys may be recommended because, you know, the official, in order to officially confirm that there is minimal change disease, they have to biopsy the kidney and look at it under the electron microscope. Now, this minimal change disorder is so common in young children, but it can develop in young adults too, but only about 10 to 15% are, the young adults, and 80% are the young kids, you know, elementary school age, those that age group. Well, let's look at some of the drugs. Patients typically are going to be put on several medications for this disease. They're going to be put on blood pressure drugs, ACE inhibitors. They're going to be put on cholesterol medications to decrease the protein loss in the urine. They're going to be put on corticosteroids for the inflammation, which can also stunt growth, by the way. And also they're going to be put on immune system suppressants. And other recommendations given usually by modern medicine is, you know, they need to take some vitamin D supplements and also blood thinners. So they're also going to recommend low salt, low fat, and high protein diets to kind of counter this problem. So let's look at what the complications could be. Well, this disease can come loaded with possible complications like kidney failure, arterial sclerosis, congestive heart failure due to the edema, infections such as pneumonia, and renal vein thrombosis, and malnutrition. And what's the outlook then? Well, this condition may become acute within a short term. And if, you know, you're diagnosed and within a short time, this can turn ugly in a skinny minute. And you can get those complications we just listed would add to the risk, you know, of you probably needing dialysis and be put on a kidney transplant list. Oof. So, you know, is there another way? Well, personally, I would never follow the allopathic route with regards to my kidney function. That's just me. There are more than 25 herbs that can reinstate the kidneys to proper function. Mm-hmm. Now, if you follow the advice of doctors, you most likely will be on immune system suppressant drugs for life and then on the organ transplant list eventually. So, no thanks. Thank you, but no thank you. One of the best herbs for the tiny filters of the kidneys is marshmallow root. It's so soothing to the irritated little kidney filters. So marshmallow root tincture is what I'd be popping down. That's what I would be doing. Other herbs that I would use are clove, mullein, chaparral, comfrey, and garlic. You're going to find several of these herbs in the products called Blood Cleanse and Kidney Bladder Cleanse and Calcium Formula that the folks at Apothecary Herbs make. I'd also use some herbs to reduce as much of the inflammation as possible. So willow bark and meadow sweet or the pain anti-inflammatory formula is what I'd also use. And also I would use some herbs to help with the blood pressure and the cholesterol and reduce the risk of clots. So, hey, heart, cholesterol, blood pressure formula, got that garlic in it. Here I come. That's what I'd be doing. There's also so much that we can do with herbs to strengthen the body, to repair this damage. So, you know, cleanse and nourish, that's my mantra, and that's what I do, and sidestep a lot of problems that way. So if you're interested in learning how to do that, call Apothecary Herbs, get a free product catalog. They have a toll-free number. Their number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. Now, if you're outside the U.S., dial 704-885-0277, 704-885-0277. Of course, they do have a website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. Yeah, God said herbs are here for the service of man, and they are meat. And that's in Genesis chapter 1, verses 29 to 30, and in Psalms 104:14. And I tend to believe the big guy. I really do. So, sign up also if you get a chance, if you go to the powerherbs.com website, sign up for the free online newsletters. They have the American Survival, which covers a lot of things, politics, finances, and health, and that goes out on Tuesdays. And then they have the Health Quest newsletter that's all about natural healing and therapies, and that goes out on Fridays. And they are both free, and you can sign up online at thepowerherbs.com. And you'll get really interesting information. You'll get links to download for more information. You'll also get some discount specials because you're a subscriber to the Apothecary Herbs product line. So you get, you know, special service. So check that out. You get discounts and so forth. So you get herb medicine options over there. And that's what I like, options, lots of them. All right, we got a few minutes before we have to go to the break. Let's tap into this Crohn's disease because, you know, a lot of people have digestive disease. Hey, if you go over to the Arab Emirates, if you ever find yourself over there, boy, those people have a lot of digestive problems, lots of digestive. You know, I get calls from some of them folks. They have so many digestive problems. I thought America was bad. But they have all that rich food and crazy stuff in their food that no wonder. That's what I'm saying. So they need the herbs. They don't even know what digestive herbs to use, which is stunning to me. Usually some cultures know something about digestive herbs. Anyway, so we're going to talk about Crohn's disease. Because it's not fun to have any digestive malfunction, and Crohn's disease is just one of the types of diseases that you can get. There's like 500 million Americans that are diagnosed with Crohn's disease, and 10% of them are under the age of 18. That's just not acceptable. Mm-mm. So if a family member has Crohn's disease, actually your risk is going to be higher at getting it. About 20% of the folks that are diagnosed with the disease have blood relatives with the same problem. And this makes total sense because we tend to live and eat like our relatives, right? So we're doing something wrong in the lifestyle to get this problem. According to the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of America, men and women suffer equally from this disabling disease, and those with a European and a Jewish heritage are at a greater risk of getting Crohn's disease than those from an African American heritage. They have less of a risk. Must be all those collard greens and greens that they just make so lovely in the kitchen. You ever have any of that? Oh, I have some African American friends, and they make just some really their collards, their greens are the bomb, basically. It's just great. So protects the digestive system. If you want to protect your digestive system from diseases like this, cabbage. Think cabbage, okay? Okay, so let's talk about Crohn's disease. It really is an acute inflammation of the bowel tissue, and it affects the entire digestive tract from mouth, esophagus, stomach, small and large intestine, rectum, and the anus. So there's no part of the plumbing that's going to escape this disease. Okay, the most common area that is affected, though, is the ileum, or the lower small intestine. You know, right before it attaches to the large intestine, that's where that is. So the swelling and inflammation and other symptoms are just really sometimes unbearable. Pain, vomiting, diarrhea, pretty standard with colitis and Crohn's disease. Other symptoms are rectal bleeding, weight loss, arthritis, skin problems, inflammation of the eyes, and fever. So Crohn's disease affects the immune system. Therefore, it is not uncommon to also develop an autoimmune problem like lupus in association to this. So we don't want that. Oh, boy. And you, oh, man, if your doctor finds out you have something like lupus, cha-ching, they see the dollar signs. Because nobody seems to ever get better on lupus when they're looking at them. But I can. All right, we got to take a break. On the other side, we're going to fix this Crohn's disease in a skinny minute. We'll be right back.
life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
With our current economy, there's no time to lose. Apothecary Herbs has their own version of the stimulus package. It includes sending you highly potent and certified organic herbal products at a 15% discount. Here's how it works. Mail in your order using our catalog order form, online downloadable order form, or if shopping on our website at thepowerherbs.com, print off the contents of your shopping cart, subtract 15%, add your shipping fee, and mail it in with your payment. Get well and save money. What could be better than that? Order by mail now and save 15%. Call Apothecary Herbs for a free product catalog toll-free, 866-229-3663, international 704-875-8010, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
Here on Herb Talk, I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and we're talking about Crohn's disease. And right before the break, we were talking about what it is. Well, let's talk about what could cause it. Well, modern medicine likes to blame heredity, the environment, your immune system that has all gone haywire. Their theory is the immune system is reacting to good digestive bacteria and food like it was a foreign material and attacks it. And then the white blood cells accumulate in the lining of the intestine and causes it to inflame. So what do they do to treat this? Well, your doctor suspects you have a digestive disease and you will most likely be referred to a gastroenterologist. And they'll do a series of tests to rule out other diseases and to come up officially with Crohn's disease. So you're going to give blood. It's going to be tested. You're going to give stool samples. They may do an upper GI, a colonoscopy, a sigmoid oscopy. That all could all be done, and tissue, maybe even biopsy. You're going to be poked and prodded and stuck and jabbed and practically dissected by your doctor. So in the end, you will be put on a combination of drugs, anti-inflammatory medicines, and in the end, you're also going to they're going to add to that cortisone, steroid drugs, immune system suppressors, antibiotics, diarrhea drugs, fluid replacement products to prevent high dehydration, and synthetic supplements, also petrochemicals, by the way. So after all that, you may still be scheduled for surgery. So according to the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of America, 75% of those with the Crohn's disease, even after all that treatment, are going to require surgery at some point due to some complications. So there are four types of surgery that they perform for Crohn's disease. One could be a partial bowel resection, which removes the diseased part of the intestine. Or they could do a strictureplasty, which shortens the intestine and widens any narrowing areas. Or you could have a fistulous correction, which connects tissue to the bladder but does not drain intestinal contents into the bladder. And then they could also drain any abscesses, you know, with a needle inserted into the abscess to drain any infections. So the goal is to ease your symptoms, not erase your symptoms. The goal is to control your disease, not eliminate your disease. So the inflammation and the pain and the disease are still going to be there, just not as severe. That's their goal that they're shooting for. So this is disease management. It's designed to help you live as comfortably as possible with the disease, and modern medicine admits there is no cure for Crohn's disease, and they hope for remission of symptoms. And that all that means is a lessening of symptoms. It's not a cure. Let's look at the risks. So if those that are suffering from Crohn's disease say they experience flare-ups when they get under a lot of stress, scientific medicine can't explain that. Therefore, they don't want to accept that stress is a trigger for the disease. One of the biggest risks of living with Crohn's disease is that a blockage in the intestine could develop due to a thickening of the intestinal wall, and the intestinal tissue then becomes inflamed, it swells, it develops scar tissue, and the process repeats itself over and over again. So acute cases will have sores and ulcers that tunnel through the intestinal tissue and affect any surrounding tissue and other organs like bladder, vagina, anus, rectum, and skin, of course. So this process produces what they call fistulas, which become infected and then require surgery if medicine can't clear up the infection with their drugs. So the process will weaken the intestine and other tissues, and then fissures or tears can develop in the lining of the mucous membranes, especially around the anus area. So if surgery is required, there is a risk that the entire colon would need to be removed and you'd have a colostomy. So a colostomy is where there's a hole or a stoma that's made in the front abdomen area wall, usually at the end of the small intestine and a tip at the tip of the ileum. And then the tip of the ileum is brought through the stoma, which is about the size of a quarter. And it exits the body near your belt line, basically. and the patient wears a pouch over the opening to collect waste material, which has to be emptied pretty frequently. Well, let's talk about preventing this, huh? It is about diet. It is about lifestyle, these types of problems. So if your ancestors had Crohn's disease, you're probably going to get it because you're eating the same diet, right? So we tend to eat like our family members. Diets containing rich foods and gravies and meats and starches, overcooked foods, fried foods with lots of dairy lead us to digestive disease. So think the South. There are lots of Crohn's disease in the South of America because of all the biscuits and gravy and fried foods, right? My former mother-in-law, she cooked everything on top of the stove, everything. And she had Crohn's disease. All right, a sluggish bowel is from an improper diet, too much meat and starch, not enough whole grains, fresh fruits, and vegetables. Okay, so let's look at some of the foods that make this condition of Crohn's disease worse. According to Dr. Helen Castell of the University of Arkansas Medical Science, the foods you want to avoid are clear liquids and sugary fluids like soda, even diet soda, Gatorade, Jell-O, of course, milk because of its natural lactose, very bad. Sugar is going to pass through drawing from you more water and salt to hydrate you further, because the bowel has to have a lot of fluids. So it'll draw, and you may even get nauseated and vomit because of this action. Foods that produce gas like beans and cabbage and onions are going to encourage colon spasms, but I have a solution to that. So coarse fruits and vegetables and whole grain cereal, kind of difficult for people with Crohn's disease to digest. Any beverages with caffeine also should be avoided because it further dehydrates you. Fried foods, convenient foods, fast foods, also very bad. They contribute to the bowel dysfunction. So let's recap real quickly. The culprit foods are going to be milk, coffee, artificial sweeteners, refined sugar, fruit juice, and gassy or fast foods. Also, watch diet foods, because diet foods have a lot of artificial sweeteners, which are bad for you. Hard candy, also, even gum are going to have those artificial sweeteners because they work like a laxative a lot of times, and they create more diarrhea for people with Crohn's disease. So a small dose of, let's say, sorbitol, which is an artificial sweetener that you see in a lot of these foods, delivers a bowel dysfunction of 40 to 75% in most adults. All right, let's look at some soothing herbs that are really going to make your body and especially your digestive system go, ah, thank you. Okay, aloe, excellent. Olive oil. Take them internally. It's going to soothe the intestines from top to bottom. So you can add some flaxseed oil twice a day for more comfort and relief. Another soothing herb is slippery elm inner bark. Also, you can put that in an enema if you want to, and it's very soothing to the bowel. If you tend to get spastic colon, like a lot of spasms in the colon, you can also add some anti-spasmodic herbs like lobelia to the mix. So you can put some flax oil with your slippery elm. Use that in an enema if you want. If cramping occurs, if you don't have lobelia, catnip is another herb you could use to stop those spasms. So you want 1 teaspoon of the herb liquid to 2 quarts of the water. So if you have like a herb liquid, a tea or a tincture, you can dilute it with the water for the enema. So this is going to actually firm up bowel movements if the diarrhea is a problem. It's going to do that within just a few days. So after the bowel movements become firm, you might want to try to do then a complete bowel cleanse. This is what I would be doing. So you want to change the lifestyle. You want to get the good nourishment in, and you want to do the detoxing with the cleansing, see? You want to pull out all those impurities that are inflaming that tissue. So lifestyle changes are going to be necessary and permanent. And utilize digestive herbs. Some really good ones are fenugreek, the lobelia for the antispasmodic action, your slippery elm to stop the diarrhea, to soothe. Fennel seed will stop gas and bloating really quickly. Ginger stops the nausea. Peppermint calms the stomach. So about a teaspoon of fennel seed, ginger root, and peppermint all together in like an ounce of water stops nausea and vomiting pretty quickly. So if you ever feel that nausea and you get those vomiting dry heaves, do that and within 20 minutes you're good. Now to help deal with stress, to calm the nerves of the bowel, I like to use valerian root. And I like to use it in a liquid. I know a lot of people say, well, I've tried valerian root, but it didn't. Well, if you tried it in a pill or a capsule, it's probably not potent enough. So try it in a really nice aged concentrate. And with the liquids, you could do as little or as much as you need. And there's wiggle room in there in the doses. Also, let's see, if you're looking for the bowel cleanse, you might want to add a little bit of black walnut to that. And check out the cleanses at thepowerherbs.com. They have them there. They also have a digestion kit with that fennel, ginger, peppermint, and slippery elm, so you can look at all that. If you're looking for the liquid lobelia, it's called Relaxation Formula. They do have fenugreek tincture as well, and they have a whole bunch of stuff. You need to check that out at thepowerherbs.com, or simply give them a call, and they will send you a free product catalog in the mail at 866-229-3663. Give them a call toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's where your health care options just became endless. And if you're on the website, don't forget to check out that little green button in the top left-hand corner. It's called HMO, Herb Medicine Options. Click that and get over to some instant coupons. Save you some money. All right, what do we have here? I don't think I'm going to have time to cover the ED issue because there's some pills, prescription drugs, some things you may not be aware of that really encourage erectile dysfunction. So we're going to save that for another day. But right now I'm going to talk about this other syndrome called organic mood syndrome. A lot of people have it but don't know they have it. A lot of people say, what is it? And how do I know if I have it? Well, according to the Medical Dictionary and the Manual of Diagnostic Mental Disorders, organic mood syndrome is another name for a drug-induced depression. Although we're told by doctors, the drug companies that there's really no strong scientific evidence in print that supports the association of depressive symptoms or suppressive disorders caused by your prescription drugs. Nonetheless, there is suggestive evidence. So suggestive evidence is when a suspect drug is discontinued and symptoms of depression resolve themselves. Duh. There you go. So depression all by itself is bad enough, but it has also become a drug-induced disease, and statistics are saying about 15% of organic mood syndrome will end in suicide. So why are doctors downplaying or even ignoring this epidemic? Well, acknowledging drug-induced depression undermines the effectiveness of drug treatments and money rolling in, see? Well, let's look at some of the symptoms. Being depressed can have the following symptoms. You can have a lack of energy. You may feel listless. You may feel run down. Or you may have decreased concentration. You may have some changes in your cognitive abilities. And you may even have acute fatigue, appetite changes, disruption in your sleep pattern, diminished interest in activities that normally made you feel good. And you also may have some feelings of sadness or despair. So be aware that thyroid disease can also be mistaken for symptoms of depression. So make sure, you know, you check out the thyroid angle. Well, let's look at a list. There really is quite a long list of drugs that can cause you to become depressed. According to AARP, their website, there are 10 major classes of drugs that are known to cause drug-induced depression. So patients also don't realize that most physicians won't review their drug list when they complain of depression. Instead, the doctor is going to layer on another drug to control the symptoms of depression. So let's look at some of the top 10 classes of drugs that can make you depressed. Beta blockers for angina and high blood pressure. They slow the heart rate by blocking the hormone adrenaline and lowering blood pressure. Also, it's prescribed for migraines, tremors, arrhythmia, and glaucoma. So medical science says it does not know why this drug causes depression. However, scientifically, we know that any blocking hormones can cause a neurotransmitter problem. There you go. And then the corticosteroids is another category used for inflammation, you know, people with rheumatoid arthritis, lupus disease, gout, and other inflammatory conditions. So these drugs lower serotonin levels, causing depression and other psychiatric disorders. Then we have the tranquilizers, the benzodiazepine tranquilizers. They're typically used for anxiety, muscle spasms, and insomnia. This drug affects the central nervous system by depressing it. These drugs can build up in the liver, create some toxic levels, giving patients the hangover effect and even depression. So doctors will often do blood tests to check your liver enzymes to make sure your liver produces sufficient enzymes to help neutralize these toxic effect of this drug so you don't die. Okay, when the liver starts showing enzyme problems, they take you off the drug, see? But the liver is taking a hit already when that happens, hope you know. You know, if you ever take some of those, you know, muscle spasm pills, I mean, you feel like your head's floating 3 feet above your head. You ever have that? It's just not fun. Okay, now another class of drugs is the Parkinson's drugs. These drugs affect dopamine, the neurotransmitter dopamine, which affects motor function and reduces, of course, your tremors. But dopamine is one of the three neurotransmitters known to be associated with depression, and the drug promotes high levels of dopamine causing depression. Then there's the hormone replacement medications, and these are used to treat symptoms of menopause. Or the new one is for more comfort in sexual intercourse after menopause, that one. So oral contraceptives are also in this category. They contain the artificial estrogen. And again, the drug manipulates hormone levels, causes all kinds of dysfunctions, including depression, and also increases your risk of certain diseases. So do your homework. Also, stimulants is on the list. And they usually prescribe a stimulant to treat, you know, daytime sleepiness, hyposomnia, narcolepsy, sleep apnea, fatigue, ADHD. And these drugs increase dopamine levels, and prolonged exposure can cause depression. Anticonvulsants are on the list, used usually for seizures and other conditions like bipolar disorder and other mood problems. So these drugs limit seizures by blocking signals affecting neurotransmitters, your chemical messengers, and they're known to cause depression. Now there's the proton pump inhibitors, or the H2 blockers. These block gastric acid and acid reflux disease. Medical science says it doesn't know why these drugs cause depression, but it is speculated that the pH is disrupted, changing brain chemicals. Then the statin drugs are all on the list, the lipid-lowering drugs used to lower cholesterol and often paired with other cardiovascular drugs. So these drugs deplete cholesterol from the system and affects brain chemicals through a release of neurotransmitters. And lastly, the anticholinergic drugs used to treat the chlorinolytic drugs used to treat digestive cramps, GI disorders like Crohn's disease, you know, spastic colon. So these slow the digestive tract down and reduce stomach and acid production by blocking the neurotransmitter acetylcholine, responsible for muscle contraction. This drug directly affects the central nervous system, causing depression, sedation, and cognitive impairment. So be careful. So if you want a full list of drugs causing depression and even their genetic names, you can reference a website called alternativementalhealth.com and search for their drug depression list. Now, by the way, the popular drug for treatment of acne, the Accutane, which causes also drug-induced depression and even suicide. And who is on this drug? Usually young teens and adults. So 1 in 16 Americans, that's 17 million, are on this acne medicine usually. So in 2000, over 600,000 people were taking Accutane. And by 2012, 5 million were using it. So pregnant women on Accutane have a 10% chance of their baby having facial birth defects. So please, folks, whenever you're recommended to take something, anything, put it in your mouth, research it first. So we live in interesting times. So stress levels tend to be elevated higher than normal over the last 20 years. And the last thing we need is to have a drug-induced mood disorder on top of that. I personally will never use a prescribed drug to manage my metabolism. I prefer to use diet, exercise, medicinal herbs to cleanse and nourish the body, to add the extra nutrition I may be missing. So disease management with drugs, not my thing. Not my thing at all. So some folks think that they are, you know, pretty good health. They're only taking a few prescriptions. Well, really? Ask your pharmacist, ask your doctor what the chemical changes one drug gives your body, your metabolism, a minimum of 100. If you're on two drugs, that would be 100 times 100. You get the picture. After the first drug, the doctors don't know what the changes are going to be. You're just a big, you know, combination lock. It's just, you know, Russian roulette. So whenever you elevate a treatment or therapy, if you're evaluating it, if you're evaluating a treatment or therapy, you want to ask yourself, is it going to strengthen me? Is it going to make me independent? Or am I going to be subjected to taking these drugs for the rest of my life? Well, I look at that as kind of like slavery, because what would happen if your body gets so used to those drugs and then all of a sudden you can't have the drugs anymore? What are you going to do? Well, you're going to have a problem. Your metabolism is going to have a meltdown. So I prefer to look at some other ways to deal with things. And if you're interested in learning more, I hope you are, you know, empower yourself. Learn about your herbs, your options, some natural solutions to everyday problems. They're out there. I don't think God intended you to be, you know, a slave to the pharmaceutical industry to be healthy. No, I don't think so. Call the folks at Apothecary Herbs, get a free product catalog, and empower yourself. 866-229-3663, toll-free number 866-229-3663, and thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. Hey, don't forget, we're going to be talking with Justin Stillman from Extreme Health Radio on Thursday. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.